Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the garden. Amen. We're excited. This is our new format from now on. We're getting rid of the pulpit and just going to decorate with flowers. Some of you are looking at me and say, oh no, where's the door? Now, tonight starts VBS, starts at 5:30, and we're anxious about what God's got in store for us. Please be in prayer, but invite children, boys and girls from the neighborhood, to come to VBS 5:30. We're going to have a great time every night, tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And we're having a staple dinner on Wednesday night. We're having something every VBS always has. We're having hot dogs on Wednesday nights. So praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I appreciate all those who have already put the effort into getting ready. Not only the decorations, but they've been praying. We've been praying that God would use this time period to reach our young people. The world wants to reach the children. Satan wants to reach the children. So should we reach them with the truth and the love of Jesus Christ? That's why we exist, and that's why we're here this morning. So Danny is off gallivanting around on vacation, which is perfectly fine. We're glad that he's able to enjoy that with Miss Carol. So we've got a very able assistant this morning coming in leading songs this morning. So help Brother Tim as we lead music this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing a song today.
Page 401 in your hymnals. The Unclouded Day.
The Unclouded Day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for the promise that you have given to us of an eternal home with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, Father, that you would speak to our hearts as we continue to worship you through music, through prayer, Lord, through the offering, through the preaching of your word, everything done and said today, may it cause us to focus on you and to be thankful for what you've done. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. If you'll find the book of Revelation, you can have a seat. Find the book of Revelation, very easy to find, the very last book. You find the book of maps and go left one, okay? Find the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. So good to have guests visiting with us this morning. Thank you for being here today. I'm thanking God that you've come and to worship the Lord with us, taking time out of your busy schedule. And I thank you for being here. Revelation chapter number 22 this morning. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, there should be a Bible in the pew. Grab one and follow along with us. The very last chapter of the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter number 22. John is writing the words that Jesus was revealing to him that showed him these things. Here's what Jesus told John to write. And he, Jesus, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, praise God for that. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And then verse number 6 says this, And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. I love where it says in verse 6 particularly, These sayings are faithful and true. There's not a lot of truth in this world. There's not a lot of things that you can count on. But you can count on the Word of God because God wrote it and it's faithful and true. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm excited about what God has in store for us. Brother Scott Bjerkness, are you ready? In just a second, come on up and get ready. Offering folks, guys are going to take up the offering. If you'll come on down for us. Come on down, offering. Got one, got two, got three, got four. There we go. AJ. All right, Brother Joe Shavinsky, would you please pray for the offering, sir?
Dear Lord, I have you, Father. Oh, we love you so much. Lord, we just thank you for the day together, the beautiful day we can all share your day. Lord, we pray now that the time for the offering, we pray that you realize that these things are for the good of the people that are in here and that are coming, that are all of us. So we praise you this morning, Lord, for what we're going to do and what we're going to give. And we thank you, Lord, for being our Savior.
Yes.
Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. For our missions report today, we're honored to have Kyle Palmer here from Camp Living Water, and he's going to tell us some the great things that are going on there. And I'm excited because there's a lot of opportunity for kids locally, too, and he's going to tell you about that.
Thank you.
Hi. So I'm Kyle Palmer. Good morning. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And I've been sent out by Camp Living Water to engage in our community, to identify needs in our community, and either build out programs at Camp Living Water to meet those needs or to partner with people and organizations that already are. And part of the reason why I'm here is to honor the partnership that has already been longstanding between Victory Baptist Church and Camp Living Water. So thank you for all that you've done for Camp Living Water and in our community thus far, and the ways that you've been engaging our community. I've been keeping up with those as far as I've been around. I have been in the community for just over 3 years, have used the Manna Food Drive myself, so thank you for hosting that. We are currently working on a few programs that might be of interest to you all, and you may know some people who are also interested in these. Summer camp is starting July 1st, and we have an awesome summer camp. So if you have youth, teens, and younger, please invite them out to Camp Living Water. We'd love to have them. You can find registration details on our website. But the other things that you might be interested in here and the ways that we're engaging our community are our longstanding soccer program. We served 104 players this past season, 3 to 11. We're looking to move that to 150 this season. So registration for that starts in July. And we're also, one of my main projects right now is to build out a program called American Heritage Girls and Trail Life, which, to make this short, are Christian Christ-centered discipleship for boys becoming men and girls becoming women. It's very focused in adventure, getting outdoors, going whitewater rafting or ziplining and camping and all that. And that is a need in our community that we've identified that is not being met here. I have 5 children myself, and I want to see them discipled into men and women who love God and serve Amen. Him wholeheartedly. And that's what we're doing at Camp Living Water. So thank you for partnering with us. And if you see any other needs in our community that we can help to meet, I'm Kyle, and I'd love to speak with you. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. Let's give him a hand this morning.
Now, I don't know the answer. Ms. Reva, how many years have we been supporting Camp Living Water? Many, many, many years. All right, fantastic. Since Miss Doris was a little child, probably. Amen, amen. So, yes, so we've been supporting it, but I praise God for that. Kyle, thank you for being here. If you have any questions about Camp Living Water, we've got a prayer letter back there also, but I'm sure Kyle will be hanging around a little bit this morning. You can ask him any questions. And thank you so much for what you're doing over there, and welcome aboard. Glad to have you. All right, Brother Tim.
All right, let's sing a song. Love Lifted Me, page 265. If you stand, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, thinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. Nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to to Him I give, ever to Him I cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits His robe best song. Faithful, loving service to Him be. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Amen. Now, let's turn to page 120. Victory in Jesus.
Amen. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. With His redeeming blood, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, and I heard about to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Verse 3. I heard about His mansion, He is built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is through Him. He plunged me to victory beneath
I know nothing about what I'm doing, but I don't know what to do with my hands.
Amen,
so I
amen.
If y'all would all just shake hands and welcome me.
As the musicians keep playing, let's spend some time shaking hands. Boys and girls, you're dismissed for Children's Church. Let's shake hands and greet one another this morning. Amen. Thank y'all so very much. Wonderful singing this morning. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated this morning. Y'all appreciate the musicians. Give them a hand this morning, would you? Amen. Amen. Brother Tim, thank you for filling in. I really appreciate you serving the Lord. I appreciate that so much. And then I appreciate Brother Allen. I appreciate his willingness to, at the drop of a hat, get ready to play or whatever. I can call him on a Wednesday or on a Friday or even on a Saturday and ask him, say, Alan, would you please sing this particular song and worship the Lord this morning with us? And so he's going to sing an oldie but a goodie. And I love this song. And listen to the words of the song as he sings it to bring honor and glory to the Lord today. Brother Alan.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God.
Amen.
Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. You're the name above our hearts will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I don't care if they die and go to hell. What good is it for me to tell them, because they're not going to listen anyway? They're going to go ahead and listen to whatever the God they want to listen to. They're going to go ahead and do what they want to do. They've beaten me. They've stoned me. They've left me for dead. They've rejected me. They've thrown me out of every city. They've turned my loved ones against me. So I don't care what happens to them. Let them die. Let them go to eternity without the living God. I don't care. Now, you say, Brother Brian, that's kind of harsh. Well, those words didn't come from me. And those words didn't come from the Apostle Paul either. If you know anything about the history of the Apostle Paul, he was rejected. He was thrown out of city after city. He was chased out of city after city. Matter of fact, he was beaten so many times. He was stoned so many times. Matter of fact, he was thrown outside the city and left for dead probably more than once. The Apostle Paul was rejected by mankind just like Jesus Christ. But yet Paul got up time after time after time after time, not for the sake of other people necessarily, but because of what Jesus Christ had done for him and the God that he served. The God that he served was more awesome than any of the other gods that people pretended existed. Now, a while back, I tried to, in my own flesh, start a series of messages on this. But things have intervened and things have taken place, and I've not been able to do that. So once again, I'm asking God to give me the strength to start another series of messages on the awesomeness and the greatness of God. And so in order to begin that, we kind of want to see how we find out about who the living and true God really is. So if I open your Bibles up to the book of Acts, chapter number 17 this morning. Acts chapter number 17. By this time in his ministry, Paul has been rejected numerous times. By this time in his ministry, he's been arrested. By this time in his ministry, he's had people try to kill him. If you read back in your previous chapters, he's gone from city to city to city. And now he finds himself in the city of Athens. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 16 this morning. He had just been thrown out of the city of Berea, and they were coming to kill him. And his friend said, "Get out of town, Paul." They were surrounding him. They were getting ready to kill him. They said, "You guys, get out of town." Silas and Timothy went one direction. Paul went another direction. And Paul told them, "Listen, I'll meet y'all in Athens." Verse number 16, we pick up the story. Now, while Paul waited for them, who? Silas and Timothy. While he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. And what caused that to happen? When he saw the city was wholly given to idolatry. Not just a little bit. That means completely given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him into Areopagus. And this is what they said,
May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. In parentheses, explanation, it says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and this is what he said. You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and I beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul came into Athens. He saw the wretchedness. He saw all the idols that were spread throughout the city, not just on this hill, but everywhere. And it says here in verse number 16 that he was stirred within him. The Holy Spirit was so stirred within Paul that he knew he had to tell them the truth of the true and living God. Let me ask you a question. And I want you to consider this question as we look at the message this morning and look at the scriptures. Are you stirred within you because of the wickedness and the filth of this world? And I'm not saying that we want to stand against it. I'm sick of people. No. Are you stirred within you because you recognize the false gods that are being worshipped? And do you love people enough to want them to know the truth? See, Paul wasn't mad at the people. He wasn't angry and distraught over the people and the wickedness they were doing. He was stirred because he knew he had the truth and he wanted them to know the truth. It's totally different to stand on a street corner or in the schoolhouse or in the place of shopping or whatever and to scream and holler because you're mad at people. But it's totally different to say, I know the truth and I want you to be free from your sin and bondage. That's what Paul was stirred up about. Now, I did a little bit of research about how all these different gods got established in the city of Athens. It was a Greek city. And they had all kinds of a melting pot, all kinds of different people. There's a story, and I want to read this to you real quick. About 600 years before Paul even came along. Listen to this. It says, the historical account of Epimedes himself would tie nicely in presenting Christ to the Greeks for the first time. See, these Greeks had never heard about Christ. In the 6th century B.C., there was a plague which went throughout all Greece. And the Greeks thought that they must have offended one of their gods. So they began to offer sacrifices on altars to all their various false gods. So the plague was raging throughout Greece. And they didn't know what to do. They had never heard about Jesus Christ. They had never heard about the Messiah coming. And so they did the only thing they knew to do is they found all of their gods and they began to offer sacrifices to them. Kind of like we do here in 2023. When things are going bad or things aren't going the way, we try to find ways to appease the gods. Well, if I work hard enough and if I put enough effort into this and if I do this and I do this, then maybe God might be happy with me. So they began to do that. But here's the problem. Nothing worked. Not a thing worked. They figured there must be a God who they didn't know about whom they must somehow appease. So they made all these sacrifices, yet the plague continued to carry on and carry on. And so they got together and said, you know what? Maybe there's a God that we don't know about that's angry with us. And we got to please him. So Epimedes, he came up with a plan. He released hungry sheep into the countryside, and he instructed the men to follow the sheep to see where they would lie down. And he believed that since hungry sheep would not naturally lie down but continue to graze, If the sheep were to lie down, it would be a sign from this God that this place was sacred. So at each spot where the sheep tired and lay down, the Athenians built an altar, and they sacrificed the sheep on it. So they let the sheep loose in the city of Athens. Sheep everywhere. Meh, meh. Like my imitation? And they went throughout the city, and they watched them. And when a sheep would lay down, then the Athenians would get really excited. And one man would go to the sheep, and they would build an altar or whatever kind of, out of stone or wood or whatever. And that sheep would lay down, and they would cut the throat of the sheep, and they would sacrifice the sheep on the altar. And about 100 yards away, another sheep would do it. And pretty soon you had dead sheep. You had altars all over the place. And they were hoping somehow to make the unknown God happy. Now, how many of you agree that is craziness? That is stupidity. Doing all they can to hopefully we get the right one right. Our God, the true and living God, is more than just a take a chance God. Rolling the dice and saying, well, I hope I get this because maybe God might be happy with me. The ridiculousness of this. So pretty soon they started killing all the sheep. Afterwards, it's believed that the plague stopped. And when the plague finally stopped, they attributed it to this unknown God accepting the sacrifices. The Greek writer by the name of Diogenes Laertius, I'm not very good in Latin, he mentions these altars, and here's what he writes. Altars may be found all over Attica, which have no names inscribed upon them, and they are left as memorials to this atonement. Now, I've never been to Athens, and I don't know if any of y'all have ever been. But from what I understand, all over, there's these little altars. And they stayed based upon where the sheep lay down and hopefully to appease the living and true God. So Paul shows up about 6 centuries later, and he shows up to the city of Athens. And as he's walking through the city of Athens, he's noticing all these little altars. And he's noticing on this place all these different altars to the Greek gods. And he was stirred inside, saying, oh my God, oh my God, they need hope. Brothers and sisters, I know Swain County doesn't necessarily have all these little altars like they do in Athens, but we do. One of the big altars is called the Tuckasegee River. Another one of the altars is called Deep Creek. Another one exists at United Community Bank. Another one exists on the ball fields. Another one exists down at the bars. Another one exists in your home. Another one exists, maybe even perhaps in this room. You say, what are you talking about? Brothers and sisters, we're trying to do everything we can to appease God, except doing it the way He wants us to do it. You're doing your best effort to make God happy, and there's nothing you can do to appease God. Jesus Christ has already done that. So here in chapter 17, Paul, his spirit was stirred within him, and he saw all these things happen. It says, verse 17, therefore disputed. Now, it doesn't mean that he went in there ranting and raging. When you see the word disputed, we think instantly he was fighting with them. No, it means he went into the synagogues. There were Jewish synagogues in Athens. He went into them and he began to discuss with them. You know, Paul had a habit. Every time he went into a new city, he didn't go find a place to rent. He didn't go to the tailor. He didn't go to get food. The first place he went was go to the synagogue. He went to the place where there are Jews. And so he went into the synagogue and he'd be able to discuss and talk about the living and true God. Now the Jews there, they were thinking, oh, we know who you're talking about. But then he'd hit him between the eyes and he'd say, I want to tell you about someone who the living and true God sent to you. The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now look, he says that he goes in and he starts speaking to them. And also he was speaking with devout persons. That means very religious people. People who thought they had it all figured out. And it says he was in the market daily with them. And they met with him. So he didn't shy away. He started hitting it from the very moment his feet hit the ground in Athens. He began to talk to everybody. And he began to tell them about the Messiah. About Jesus the Christ. The promised one of the real and living true God. So he began to come and talk to them. So when I read this, I got to wondering, so what? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Why should I care what the guy down the street's doing? Why should I care if he's going to heaven or not? Why should I care if that single mom or that lonely grandmother or that man who's on his last legs? Why should I care about their soul? I got my suit on. I'm good to go. So, y'all, just go to hell. I don't care. I'm going to heaven. My family's going to heaven. That's all I care about. They say, Brother Brian, that's mean. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but most of you would agree, that's rotten down low. But my question is, do you care? Do you bother to tell anybody about the living and true God? Do you bother to have any concern and care for people's souls? Or do you just show up on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night and let me feed you and then you go home unchanged? Or do you really care? We're going to have boys and girls in here, I'm praying, that this VBS, that don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, and I'm praying that before they leave, that they're going to know about the living and true God through Jesus Christ. So why did Paul care? Well, let me give you some instances, some writings that Paul shared, why I think he cared. Find the book of Romans real quick. Very next book after the book of Acts. Find the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 1. What drove him? Some people believe, well, after I get saved, I can just live my life the way I want to live. Some people believe that when you get saved, that you automatically pop off to heaven. I'm glad God didn't do it. Why didn't he just go ahead and send us to heaven? Wouldn't that have been wonderful the day you accepted Christ as your Savior that, yep, he was gone? A lot more people would be getting saved, wouldn't they? No. Because our salvation is not for our benefit. It's not about us. Jesus died for us because he loves us, because he wants us to have eternal life, yes. But he didn't save our souls so that we'd have the benefit only. He wants us to share it with other people. The same exact thing. Look what he says here in Romans chapter number 1. We're going to pick up in verse number 14. He's writing this to the Romans. He wants them to understand his heart. He's wanting them to understand the importance of why he was alive and what his mission was. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Now you notice the word Greek. Where was he in Athens? What nationality is Athenians? They're Greek. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He says, I'm a debtor to all people. I am no better than anybody. I'm no better than a Greek. I'm no better than a barbarian. I'm no better than a smart person. And I'm no better than a dumb person. As much as is in me, I desire for you to know what the gospel is. The freedom that you can have through Jesus Christ. The peace with God that you can have through what Jesus Christ has done. Let me ask you, do you know that peace? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's really what people want. People really just want to have peace. They just really want to wake up every single day knowing that it's going to be okay. I'm just coping day by day, Brother Brian. Even sometimes just hour by hour. It's all I can do. People just really want to have peace. How many of you would testify this morning? That's you. You just want peace. Just a few of you. The rest of you like calamity? Okay, all right. All right. So let me ask you again. How many of you just want peace? Yeah. We just want to know that it's going to be okay. We just want to know that in spite of our mess-ups and our bad situation in our life, that somebody really cares and that it's going to be okay. May I tell you that somebody really cares. And if you will trust Him as your Savior, it's going to be okay. Even in your failures and even in your problems and tumults. Even in your drama at home or at work or in your family, it's going to be okay because God loves you and He sent Jesus Christ to die for you. Paul said, that's what I do because of what's been done for me. That's why he cared. Do you think he enjoyed getting beaten? Do you think he enjoyed getting rejected? Do you think he enjoyed getting stoned outside this? Now, I'm not talking about getting high. I'm talking about literally getting stoned with rocks. I got to clarify that. Sometimes people don't know. He literally got killed with rocks. Do you think that he woke up every day saying, wow, I hope somebody beats me today? No. So he says, Romans, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. So much as that is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Why? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That Jesus came to earth in the form of man. God himself came to earth in the form of man. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. He came to take the death on the cross in our place that we so justly deserve. He came to die and spill his blood to make atonement for our sins. He willingly did that. And then he willingly allowed himself to be buried in a borrowed grave. And he willingly allowed them to roll a stone in front of it. And then God brought him back to life and he arose. And he's alive at this very moment, the risen Lamb of God. That's the gospel. And when Paul was disputing with the Romans and with the Athenians and the Greeks, they had all kinds of gods and all kinds of origin stories. Did you know that Marvel comics, most of those comics are based upon Greek and Roman gods? So, Jesus, the living and true God, could be known. And Paul said, that's why I'm here. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Underline it right there. Everyone that believeth. Put your name right there if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because it's power to you. You believe that Jesus died for your sins. You believe that Jesus was buried. You believe that Jesus came back to life on the third day. That's the gospel of Christ. He died for your sins. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There's that phrase again, the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So Paul, he had a predicament. He comes into Athens and he sees all the different gods and all the different altars. And as he walks throughout the whole city and he sees it, his heart begins to break because he realizes these folks don't have a clue. So he goes to the center of where the philosophers hang out, the religious leaders hang out, and he begins to talk to them. He doesn't go and start doing the karate moves and doing all the beating up and shoving and screaming at people and hitting them upside the head. He doesn't do all those things. He doesn't walk around and push his finger and says, "You heathen." He doesn't call them names. He goes with the love of God inside of him so that they may know the truth. It's enough of us screaming and hollering and accusing people of stuff. Enough! You can't show the love of God by screaming at people and calling them names. You can't show the love of God by judging them based upon what they look like on the outside. You can't. If somebody who dresses different than you comes up to you and tries to convince you of anything, are you going to be convinced? What are you going to do? You're going to be turned off. If somebody comes up to you in a fake shark suit carrying a spear with a bloody fish guts on it and comes up to you, tries to convince you that it's okay to go deep sea fishing, what are you going to do? So then why do we think that shouting and screaming and accusing and calling names is accomplishing anything? We have to have a heart for people and love them and show them who the true and living God is. That's what Paul was doing in Athens that day. He began to establish who the living and true God really is. May I confess to you this morning? I have done the shouting and screaming and accusing. That's how I was trained. I remember riding a bus with 60 kids from 4 years old all the way up to 12th grade, screaming and hollering down I-95 going to church in Jacksonville, Florida, and screaming and hollering at them. And most of them were doing this, like some of you. I'm just teasing. They didn't care how much I knew until they knew how much I cared. But may I tell you this? It's not about me. It can't be about me. It's got to be about God Almighty and who He really is. All right, go back to the book of Luke, or Acts real quick. Go back. Chapter 17. So we see where Paul is coming from. Verse number 18. So as he was going into the market daily, it says verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics, they encountered him, they sought him out. And some of them, this is what some of them were saying. This babbler, what's he going to say? And others said, He seems to be a setter forth or bringing forward a strange God. And why did he accuse him of this? Here's the reason. Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. If you're going to call me a babbler, if you're going to be the putter forth, call me a putter forth of a strange God, let it be because I tell you of Jesus and his resurrection. That's why I care. That's why I care. All right, verse number 19. Next week. Brothers and sisters, like Alan sung that song this morning, how great is our God. So I'm going to ask Alan, would you come back up again for us, Brother Alan? Get the words ready for me, guys, if you wouldn't mind. As he plays this song this morning, look to the words. We have a lot to learn about the living and true God. A God that's like unlike any other God. Not a God that's as a stone altar or a God with some kind of image. No. The living and true God can't be formed and put into a box. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He came to die for our sins, to free us from the pain and the suffering because of our sins, to give us eternal life so that we can have heaven as our home. Do you care about that? And do you care that others know that too? So I'm going to ask you, to stand with us this morning. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of invitation to have, necessarily. It's not really my invitation. It may just be you standing there worshiping the Lord as we sing the song together. It may mean that you want to come and kneel to altar. You're welcome to do that. I'd love to have you come and I'll pray with you once. But it may be, they say, God, help me to care about other souls and to tell them about the freedom we find through Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to pray and say, God, renew that in me. Help me to worship your splendor, how majesty you are. Our God is living. Our God is the living and true God. He deserves our worship today. So let's sing this first verse together, and then the second one, just we'll go from there. But let's sing this first verse together. Well, I'm just going to lead us in. Let's sing this together this morning.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, all sing how great. Great is our God.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. He's going to continue to play. Is he your God? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? The altar's open. He's going to sing this next verse for us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You just respond as God wants you to respond. Tell him. Talk to him. He's alive and well, and he's listening. Heads bowed,
age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will sing, how great is our God.
Sing this verse again and get us morning.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God.
How great is our God? All the issues of life that some of you are dealing with this morning, all of us are dealing with, He knows, He loves you. And deal with them His way, not yours. I can't promise you riches on earth, but I can promise you riches untold in heaven through Jesus Christ. That peace you so desperately seek, that peace with God, that comes through Jesus Christ. How great is our God? And I'm looking forward to learning more about Him as we continue this study. Thank you for being here today. How great is our God? How great He is. Amen. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate it. Y'all can be seated. Amen. Amen. All right. In 5 hours.